Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for the third video in this little mini-series of our men's group videos on Colossians chapter 2. Now, we're going to continue on where we left off, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And Paul expands this a little bit further. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here's the thing, rooted and built up and established in the faith. Rooted down deep, all right? Firm foundation, established in the faith. Now, we know from Scripture that once you come to Christ, there is a process of growing and learning, and that's called sanctification. There is nothing you can do to make yourself more righteous before God. That's adding on vain traditions of men and empty deceit. But we do need to leave our old life behind and walk in Christ. That's just the way it is as we become more Christ-like. But we are rooted and then we continue in the faith. Now, if you go through Scripture, and I did a study on this some time back, continuing in the faith, if you continue in the faith, if you walk in the faith, if you walk with me, said the Lord. So many different phrases talking about continuing in the faith. That is what we need to focus on. No matter how bad things get, you need to be rooted and established and continuing in the faith. That's where you're always able to communicate with the Lord. But the reason why, and the reason why we do it with thanksgiving, is given to us in verse 8. Another warning, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Beware, lest anyone cheat you. And this word, cheat you, refers to plunder you or take you captive. And it says here that we should not be taken captive by philosophy and empty deceit, traditions of men. And I'm sure you've seen and heard of religions that it's all about the traditions and the different levels and up we go. And hey, this mystery is revealed, another answer is given, and you know, you get more blessed along the way and all of this rubbish. Well, these are traditions of men. They are not of Christ. We are to remain established in him, and not in things of the world. And as was the problem here for the church in Colossae, as it is for us, these philosophies, New Age thinking, we would call it, they were all focused on, you know, we or you being better, being more. And if you just do this, you will be better and you will be more. I've listened to preachers in the past where I swear if you took the Scripture out of the few Scriptures that they might use in a presentation or in a talk or a preach on a Sunday morning from the platform, you wouldn't know it had anything to do with God, or you wouldn't know it had anything to do with Christianity or Christ-like living. It was a motivational sermon. And this type of teaching has become, you know, prevalent in, especially in today's Pentecostal churches around the world, this motivational preaching to encourage you and make you feel better instead of helping you get grounded and firmly rooted in the faith. They are always adding on, if you'll just do this, and if you'll just do this, and if you'll just do this, you'll feel good and God will answer you and everything will be great. And these, you know, philosophies of empty deceit, these higher learnings and these mysteries was all part of that thing, Gnosticism, knowing, that was creeping into the church here at Colossae. And it's interesting, beware anyone, lest anyone cheat you, that word to take captive. I like actually the way it shows up in the NLT, and I don't come across NLT scriptures often, but this one did happen to explain things well. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and not from the spiritual and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. I like that. High-sounding nonsense. Oh, there's a lot of high-sounding nonsense out there at the moment, isn't there? I mean, think about it. What are some of the high-sounding nonsense things that we've had? Well, even just some of the things over time that we've heard, you know, that we've become to know or believe different things. Things like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Really? Where's that in Scripture? I heard someone say one time, well, you know, if you haven't been healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. Okay, I guess that was Paul's problem, was it? And Timothy, even, I guess they had that problem, not enough faith. Come on. If you just believe enough, if you'll just give enough, God will bless you with financial reward and abundance. Look at that one I read there earlier. Really? I guess that didn't apply to Paul or Peter or John or... Sounds good. No. Empty philosophy. Deceit, according to the basic principles of the world and not of Christ. But let's have a look now, verse 9 and then verse 10. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this is the scripture that we left off in the previous men's breakfast that I wanted to come back to here today. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice it says again, it says all the fullness, not some. And some of the false teachings, as I did mention earlier in Colossae, was that, you know, Jesus, God, man, not really, wasn't really God. So Paul had to make this clear, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in bodily form. Jesus was not, you know, a minor part of God. He was not a piece of God. He was not some God underling. He was God. As it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was with God. Excuse me. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. And then verse, I think it's 14, and then the Word became flesh. That alone, not to mention all of the others, blows that argument out of the water straight away. But Paul wanted to make it very clear, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, you know, John also taught with this kind of false teaching, and I've written this one down here so I can read it to you. 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, is not of God. So we know this by the Spirit, that yes, Jesus did come and was God. But anyone who that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, which is what this Gnosticism thing was, oh, but the different levels, and you know, Jesus was just on one of those levels. No. We don't see much of that in the modern church, praise God. But it says in verse 10 that you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. This can only be true because Jesus was God. If he were not God, you wouldn't be complete. But he was, therefore you are. Do you see where I'm going with this? Now, the thing is, sometimes we don't feel like it. So I ask the question. Each video has a question. This is the question, each one. If you don't feel like it, you've got to ask the question, what is missing? Now, I gave opportunity for answer earlier in Scripture. And then abiding in him. So walk with him, verse 6. Abiding in how we do abide in the previous video. But if you don't feel it, you've got to ask what's missing. I mean, you have the Word, you have the Holy Scriptures inspired by God, God breathed. You have the Holy Spirit, or at least as it says in Romans 8, if indeed the Spirit dwells within you. You have the opportunity for fellowship, for prayer, for worship. You are able to pray. You are able to pray at any time. You are complete in him. Paul says this, it is as a fact to be enjoyed. It is not something to be achieved. You've just got to believe it, folks, and then abide in him. Then you will start to feel it if you don't already. And now we come to the end, verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, throughout the New Testament, we can see that there are descriptions, many of ranks of the angelic beings, both fallen and faithful. And the ranks are there. These are the principalities and the powers. And Christ is the head of all of these. I need to say this really clearly, because there is a deception that has come into the modern church, more so in Pentecostalism than anywhere else. Do not think that Satan is in any way the opposite of God. God, good, Satan, evil. That's what we're taught in modern literature. Do not think, however, though, that Satan is in any way, shape, or form opposite to God. A better example of Satan's position in these principalities and powers would be maybe opposite to Michael or Gabriel, the archangel. Not God. Not even close. You need to understand also that God sets the limits on Satan. I had this conversation with someone just the other day. You know, the devil this and attacking me there. And I said, first things first. Do not give so much credit to Satan. Do not think that he has anywhere near as much power as he would like you to believe. And then do not think yourself so important in the worldview that Satan himself would even care about you. Really, the underlings. I did have, and it's an interesting thing, I don't know what I'd call it, a vision, a dream. I honestly don't know. This is very rare for me. But I was praying about our area and our region, and this image just came to me. And in it was the impression and the understanding of middle management. Middle management looking over us here in this area where I live. And no help was coming. Which means we, Christians, sons and daughters of the living God. Middle management, not even close to us, with faith, with Christ, not on our own, with him, not even close. So God sets the limits on Satan's work and on the enemy's work. Okay, it is not, it never will be the opposite to God. And a couple of examples, I think of, Job, of course. Satan came, hey, can I do this? Well, okay, you can do that, but you can't do this. Oh, you've got a hedge around him. You're protecting him. Well, you can do this, but you can't do that. Limiting what he could or could not do. I think of Peter. Just before that time when Peter then denied the Lord, Jesus said, Satan has asked that he might sift you like wheat. Satan had to ask because Peter was under Jesus' protection. You are under Jesus' protection as well when you are his. He has purchased you at a price, redeemed you through the blood. You are under his protection as well. If the enemy is to have a go at you, he must ask. At least that's the example we have in Scripture. And Jesus said, Satan has asked that he might sift you like wheat. So when you come back, I have prayed for you, and then you will continue the family. You will grow the church. That's what I meant. It's also why in Corinthians we can read, no temptation has come upon you other than that which is common to man. And then he will make a way for me. You will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. Why? God will not allow it. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, I know right now, some of you and some people whom I know in my family even are thinking, this is pretty close. But you won't be. I promise you. The Word of God promises you. And finishing off that scripture in 1 Corinthians 10, when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. Under, through, over, out. He will provide. He will provide. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus, all the fullness. And you are complete in him. You are complete. That's the message of this video. You don't need more. And should you continue reading through Colossians, you'll see all these little things. Oh, but if you just do this and you just do that, and Paul's saying no. You are complete in him. Seek after him. Seek to attain the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of God. Verse 2. Those riches. Seek after those riches, not the riches of man which perish. Seek after the riches of Christ, the knowledge and understanding of who you are, what he has done, and how we can use you in this world to reach out to others. You are complete in him. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining with me. I appreciate it. God bless. I will be praying for, yes, God's favor in your life. Absolutely. But more importantly, I will be praying that he will grant you the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom to know the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of who Christ is in you. That's what I pray above and beyond anything else. Bye-bye.